I mean, we moved here and we had a brand new baby, Benjamin. And she didn't even know my relatives because we had lived in Tennessee. And so there she was, not knowing where to go, what to do. And I was starting a new job and I wasn't around at all. When I think back on that, people, I realize how frightening that must have been. Do you know that for some people, becoming a new Christian is just as frightening?
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Our scripture text today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
Amen. God's people say, amen. All right. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for your mercy to us. We are thankful, Lord, as we gather here and we look to your word. May we gain strength through your word. May we gain insight in our Christian walk. Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be. Help us to live the way you want us to live. And Father, I pray that as I speak, that your words may come forth. We thank you, God, that you teach us, you strengthen us, and you help us. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been going through this series, you know, what a Christian is and what is a Christian. We've been asking that. And as I had mentioned before, Bob Tinsky was the author of this book, and he is a fantastic person, a person that I worked with the very first church in Tennessee that I ministered to. My friend Bob Tinsky went with his wife to Guyana and did a lot of missionary work there. You know, almost 100% of the country has dark skin. And one day they went to Georgetown. Georgetown is big. And they got separated from their host, David London. And there was a sea of people like this. Everywhere they looked, they couldn't find David London. And they were getting panicky about the whole situation, about ready to give up, when Brother London just appeared and said, hello. And they said, wow, we're glad that we found you. And Brother Landon just kind of smiled. He said, I believe it was much easier for me to find you than you to find me. Because they were the only white people there in that area. We know what it's like to have gone to different countries. And sometimes you can be a little frightened. You know, you go through customs. They ask you some questions, you know. Being a stranger can be frightening, people. Imagine what it's like to be a stranger in a new country. I really feel for many missionaries that go out. They go to a new country. They don't know the language. They have to find their source of income. They have to make new friends. There's new customs. And the common bonds are kind of different. They have to make new customs all over again. One of the hardest times for a missionary that I knew was at Christmas time, because they were used to going out Christmas caroling and doing all these, and they didn't do that in that country. And so it was a hard adjustment. I remember when Carol and I first moved to Canton. I was used to Canton. I'd been born in Canton, Ohio, and raised here and I knew pretty much where everything was, and it never dawned on me that she didn't even know where the grocery store was. I mean, we moved here, and we had a brand new baby, Benjamin. And she didn't even know my relatives, because we had lived in Tennessee. And so there she was, not knowing where to go, what to do. And I was starting a new job, and I wasn't around at all. When I think back on that, people, I realize how frightening that must have been. Do you know that for some people, becoming a new Christian is just as frightening? That's true. The change can be just as challenging. Giving up old habits, giving up old friends, finding new friends, old hangouts, finding new hangouts. It can be a frightening thing. In fact, when I first came to this church, you'll never believe this, but I was frightened of where I should park. I was. I thought, what if I park in someone's parking place and they get upset with me? Because you know what? At one church where I attended, that happened. I came in on a Sunday night and the person came up to me and said, you know what? That's my parking place. I've parked there for 30 years. And I'm thinking, the church hasn't even been around for 30 years. What do you mean? You know, it was very scary. And so I thought, well, I parked way over at first, way over, far over as I could. And then I gradually started coming this way when I saw that. And sometimes people get protective even of their pew. You know, it's where I sit there, and that is it. Well, becoming a Christian can have its challenges, can't it? You know, when Bob became a Christian, he didn't know what to expect because there'd been no Christians in his family. And he told someone, I wish I could find someone to help me live the way God wants me to live. His friend said, oh, Bob, you have someone, the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we forget how much of a friend God's Holy Spirit is, that we really are not alone. In John 14, 26 through 27, it says, but the counselor, I think the new NIV said the advocate. And by the way, if you see some discrepancies in there, my sermon crashed. Okay, so I had to do some things from memory and some things, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He's there with us, isn't he? What a friend we have with God's Holy Spirit. Well, secondly, there are many changes to this new kingdom that we become when we become a Christian, that we belong to. We even have a dual status of citizenship. Did you know that? There is a dual status, so to speak. Now, let me explain that. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that we must still honor the authority that we live in? The USA. We must still honor the government. We must still honor those who are over us. In fact, boy, Paul made it really clear in Romans. If you turn to Romans 13, he said, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities have existed that have been established by God. What does that mean? God establishes the authorities, right? Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror over those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear from one in authority? Do what's right, And he will commend you, for he is God's servant if you do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. You know, my mom used to say, did you do something wrong? When I got real quiet, she knew. Yep, he has. Because I had nothing to fear if I didn't do something wrong, right? For he is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes. Yeah, they even had taxes back then. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You know, respect is so very important in the kingdom of God. And sometimes we don't respect our brothers and sisters enough, do we? If you don't respect the authority that God has placed in your family, or in your life, or in your country, how will you ever respect the ultimate authority, God? Yeah. I believe that's why one of the Ten Commandments was to honor your father and mother, the authority in your life. Well, sometimes, though, there becomes a conflict between the civil authorities and the laws of God. Right? Sometimes there is a difference. And we've got to realize, though, even though we have this dual status, that our primary allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Our primary allegiance is to the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When the rules of the kingdom conflict with the rules of the country, our primary or first allegiance is to God. Now, we've got something going on in our country right now. You've probably heard about it. You've seen it on Fox News. In fact, that's where I first saw it, and then I started getting some emails about it. Concerning the city of Houston. How many of you have heard about this? Okay, some of you have. And I decided that I wanted to research this a little bit further and try to get to the bottom of what exactly is going on in that city of Houston where my wife had grown up. Okay? They had issued... The city of Houston had issued subpoenas demanding that a group of pastors turn over their sermons. Just the sermons that were dealing with homosexuality, gender, identity. Or Anise Parker, who is the city's first open lesbian mayor, will pursue charges. And those ministers who failed to comply could be held in contempt of court. Now, the news companies have gone crazy about this. What about the freedom of speech, or what about the idea that the separation of church and state? And I thought, how did this ever escalate to this? How did it ever happen that they want to see the sermons of these five preachers, and there's five of them? Well, you see, the mayor of Houston passed an equal rights ordinance, and the city attorney, David Feldman, was that individual. Here we see both of them standing at a press conference. What had happened was they had said, we have an emergency here, we need to bring it before the council and pass an ordinance of equal opportunity or equal rights ordinance. Now, when, and by the way, here it is. I went through it the other night, read it. There's about 36 pages here of this ordinance. And what they were trying to do was saying no one could discriminate for homosexuality in the city. Well, as you know, there's been a number of lawsuits that have gone on for people who were cake bakers or other professions that said, I cannot endorse homosexual marriage, so therefore I can't make a cake for you. And as a result of that, there's a number of lawsuits going on. So what happened was and also there is a problem that also goes with the restroom facilities. Yep, between male and female, because there's no sexual identity, there's a clause that you cannot discriminate because of that. So that caused another problem. And so what happened, five pastors got together and said, you know, this should be put on the ballot. And so they went and they gathered 50,000 signatures. They gave it to the city and the LGBT organizations, which stands for lesbian, gays, bisexual, and transsexuals, got together to fight this. And the city threw out most of the signatures of the 50,000. Now, they only needed 17,000 some hundred. I don't know exact figure of that. But they threw it all out. And so the pastors made a lawsuit against the city. When the mayor found that out, the mayor says, you must have been using your pulpits for political reasons. And so we are going to sue you, and we want you to turn in your sermons. Now, just past this past week, that has changed to speeches. We want you to give us your speeches. Now, it has turned into something that is really dynamic between civil law and the church rights. In fact, that she even said, you have taken, probably one minister has taken, over 20 minutes to talk about this, and I'm timing myself, okay? You've taken over 20 minutes to talk about this and about these petitions in your church from your pulpit. There is separation of church and state. Brothers and sisters, I remember a time when the church was the center of the community and people got together to talk about civil rights. Most of the civil rights leaders in the 60s and such, and even today, are pastors. They preached in the churches. They talked about it. They discussed it. And the main question is that freedom going to be taken away from us now? Well, I wanted to give you a little bit of background about that, and there's more, but I don't want to take more than 20 minutes to talk about that. I might be in trouble. After all, this will probably be on a podcast, and everybody will be able to hear it. But you know what? Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And as God's people, we stand on His word. Amen. So, there can be a lot of things that change when we become Christians. Our lifestyles, even our speech, can change. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 5, 3 through 4. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We're set apart. That's what holy means. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And then Paul turns in Romans and he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, our mind undergoes a transformation. We receive a new value system. Not like the world. God changes us from the inside out. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we become, we're aliens and strangers in this world. Because we don't think like them anymore. We don't act like the world anymore. There has been a change that has come over us. And like Peter, we say this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And by the way, the King James said, a peculiar people. And I like that. I don't mind being called a peculiar person. Not at all. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, and this is what Ed had read, I urge you. You get that? I urge you, I encourage you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Those sinful desires war at your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Wow. There's a war going on. There is a war going on. And it's for your soul. You know, God wants you in the kingdom. But Satan wants you in his. And it doesn't matter, people, how much God wants you. It doesn't matter how much He wants you in the kingdom. He's not going to force you to come to Him. And many people think, well, I just won't do anything. But to do nothing, you remain with Satan. You cannot remain neutral. It doesn't happen that way. Well, for many of us, we were born citizens of the United States of America. But for many of our ancestors, they were not. They came as immigrants. I know that's not the case with you, Danny. You were already here. But for many, it took 8 steps to become a U.S. citizen. Do you know that? Step 1 was to find out if you're eligible. Have you been here long enough? Are you married to someone who is a citizen? All of these things need to be found out if you are eligible. Then you needed to complete an application and collect the necessary documents to prove your stuff. Then you'd get photographed. Then you'd send in your application, your documents, and a fee, which I now found out is around $595. It's gone up a little bit. Then they will fingerprint you. You'll be interviewed. And then you'll receive a decision. And then you take an oath to become a citizen of the United States. To become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you got to believe in Jesus. But guess what? Not going to cost you $595. He paid the price for you. He died for your sins, and that allows you into the kingdom. So that's why you got to believe in Jesus. He's the only way. Then you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He had come for me. And then you're immersed, you're baptized, the old self is buried, and you rise up as a new person with your sins washed away, and you're identified with Jesus. And then God's Holy Spirit comes and He helps you to be faithful in your walk. How beautiful it is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Well, there's a major event that's going to be happening. That major event is that Christ is coming. He's coming for His people. But to do nothing means that you're not neutral. You said, I won't make a stand for Jesus. You said no to Him. Why delay?
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.